You want to make a deal? Dale heard. Interesting. There is something I want. Many somethings.
Name it!
How about this? Once every 2 weeks, you bring me something new. I don't particularly care what it is, but the first thing is going to be one of those dimensional folding bags I see people use occasionally. I want new items, enchantments, runes, whatever. If you fail to do so, the next time I see you or one of your friends, you will see every boss in this place attacking you at the same time. Deal?
Only me, Dale said resolutely. Don't end my friends. If it comes to that, I will go alone. Otherwise, I accept your terms.
Oh, how noble. It is all the same to me, Dale. All life ends, righteous or vindictive. Everything eventually ends. But for now, try to cultivate.
What?
Open yourself to me fully, Dale. Let your aura be a two-way path.
Dale tried to do as instructed and felt a sudden spike in pain as his bones were forced back together and began fusing into their proper place. Some teeth were regrown and the others were twisted as Cal took the opportunity to straighten them all, giving Dale a perfect smile. The small accumulated scars and acne pox vanished as well. In minutes, Dale was able to stand on his own again.
I suppose you want me to give you back your morning star?
The dry tone made Dale flush. Then his features hardened.
No.
Dale relished the feeling of properly moving facial muscles.
I want to tear them apart with my hands, he uttered darkly.
In that case, there is something I've been wanting to test.
I chuckled. Danny seemed hesitant.
Cal,
Danny whispered to me, even though Dale was nowhere near us.
Should you do this? You never let anyone go before.
I know, but I think that I'm getting the better end of the deal here. For one thing, he hasn't increased in rank, so I will have a net gain of a negative amount of essence if he dies right now. For another, getting new stuff from him means that it will be gear or items beyond your capability to reach, since you need to stay near me. Also, I want to see if my experimental weapon works how I think it should.
I assured her my intentions were good.
Well, beneficial. To us, at least. Oh, also, Dale, if you would be so kind, kill them in the dungeon. Otherwise, it is just a big old waste all around.
Okay. Who are you talking to?
Dale looked around nervously at the sitting bashers.
Don't worry about it.
I turned to Danny, who was trying to get my attention.
Yes?
Turns out she was just curious.
What is the weapon you are going to make?
Well, I know about a dozen runes, twice that with their inverse. I need to expand my capabilities and see if I can weaponize some of the runes that seem to be more... utility? Non-weapon?
She stared at me patiently as my tangent came to an end.
Right. Well, I have been thinking that the fluid repulsion rune that I have could be useful as a weapon, but it doesn't seem to affect living tissue. It is my belief that this is because of the aura that surrounds living things.
She sighed.
Get to the point, Cal.
Well,
I paused dramatically.
I think that if the rune were to bypass the aura, it would affect them.
She stared at me, nonplussed.
Trust me, if it works, it will be an amazing weapon. So I'm going to make a cloth wrapping for his hand. It has high steel threading in it like chainmail. At the knuckles are small spiked metal plates. The plate has a force enhancement rune on it so he can hit a lot harder, and the spikes have the fluid repulsion rune.
I thought a moment.
You think he needs anything else?
He does keep losing his gear. Is there a way to make it harder to lose?
Danny chuckled quietly, laughing at her joke.
I gave it serious thought, though. Maybe.
Oh, this is a delicious idea.
I gave a wicked grin.
She stopped laughing abruptly.
Oh, no. What?
Wow. How about a little faith in my abilities?
I pretended to be hurt. She didn't buy it.
Yeah, sure, what?
Danny demanded, tapping her non-existent toe.
Fine, ruin the surprise. Humans have no use for corruption, right?
What if it drew their corruption out of them and fed it to the weapon?
It would make it harder to break, and if my door was any indication, no one could move or replicate it. Then when they die, I don't need to clean up all their taint. I was raring to go, the schematics in my head swirling into a cohesive whole. This would be fun. Let's experiment.
Dale. Nearly a half hour later, Dale climbed the stairs from the boss room, ascending into the pre-dawn light. He clenched his fist, feeling the cloth tighten around his hand. He was wearing the new weapon, which doubled as the only piece of armor he had on. But Dale didn't trust it one bit. The dungeon, Cal, had called it an experiment, and looking at it made Dale a bit queasy. The armor was wrapped cloth and had an almost slimy, oily texture. Dale had been assured that activating the weapon would give him greater protection than plate armor, but the dungeon creature, Cal, warned that there may be side effects. Dale shivered, whether from the chill morning air against his almost nude body or the dark thoughts, he was unsure. The weapon that Dale had been given worried him. Would he really use this on another human? He thought for a moment. Yes. Not alone, and certainly not without any other armor on. Dale started walking toward the Elven Embassy, his original destination of the morning. He had not yet been here, and the amount of construction surprised him. Dale had thought that elves would grow buildings or something. There were a lot of trees in this area now, but instead it looked like workmen were constructing around the clock. The buildings were masterfully created and were obviously built with defense in mind. Dale stopped in front of the only completed building, the sight forcing him to draw in a breath. The entire building was covered in runes. He carefully looked at each individual rune, trying to determine its purpose, but was stymied as he had never seen them before. He looked at more and realized in puzzlement that all the runes were exactly the same. He thought about what this could mean as he was ushered in the door by the dangerous-looking guard.
"Well, I didn't realize this was that kind of visit."
Brianna stepped into the center of the room, looking at him oddly.
"What?"
Dale was thinking about the runes on the building. Maybe Cal would take a sample as payment?
"You are, in a state of undress, Dale."
Brianna chuckled as Dale made the connection and flushed a bright red color.
"Well, that blush goes deep. Did you need something?"
"Yes. I have forgotten why I was originally coming here, but I need a contingent of guards to come with me. A group of non-guild-affiliated adventurers and a clerk tried to kill me. That is why it took so long to get here. I need to round them up." Dale flatly informed her, ignoring his embarrassment.
"What?"
Her eyes scanned him, noting again the lack of armor and lingering on his hand.
"You seem fine, so they clearly failed. Did they rob you?"
Dale shook his head.
"No. They broke all of my bones and my jaw so I couldn't order them to leave my land. Then they dragged me into the dungeon and threw me into the first floor boss room after tossing away my armor and weapon." Fury colored her cheeks.
"They will not survive the morning. But how did you?"
Dale had agreed not to reveal that the dungeon was sentient. "I forced my essence to flow and constrict quickly, allowing me to move myself like a puppet. I killed the monsters and found a healing fountain. I drank almost the whole thing, realigning my bones with twists of essence as they started to heal. There is no way I could do that again. I'm not really sure how I did it in the first place." The words shock and awe did not adequately describe the look on Brianna's face as she paled.
"Dale?"
She began to question him.
"How about those guards?"
Dale demanded loudly, ignoring protocol. Brianna nodded and called in some guards, and personally joined them as they exited, intent on finding the failed assassins. As they left, a soft robe was wrapped around Dale, who nodded his thanks. He ignored the fact that it was bright pink. They walked stealthily toward the clerk barracks, a large tent pitched between the guild tent and the dungeon. There were rotating shifts for the clerks, so they usually had plenty of free space when off duty. As luck would have it, the majority of the men that attacked Dale were standing near the tent, softly chuckling at the sounds coming from inside. Looks like their leader was in the process of getting his extra bonus. Dale pointed at the men and nodded. The guards around him blurred, and there were suddenly several unconscious forms on the ground. Without the noise, the sounds from inside were louder. A moan drifted out, making Dale blush a bit. The guards lined up outside the tent flap and charged inside to a roar and a scream. In moments, the man and woman were led out with only a thin blanket covering them. The man blustered while the clerk cried, both of them pretending innocence. They saw Dale standing in front of them and went nearly silent.
"Oh, shit," the man spoke before being knocked unconscious.
"Wait! Wait, wait, wait!"
the hysterical woman screamed.
"How are you here? If you were alive, we did nothing—"
She was placed on the ground as well, after a light clubbing to the head.
"I assume they are why I was woken up so rudely," a wry voice spoke.
Dale turned and noticed Protectorate Cole, his appointed magistrate, walking toward him, escorted by guards and shivering.
"It is starting to get pretty cold up here."
"Your Honor," Dale nodded at the man. "These people attacked me with no provocation, removed all of my inscribed armor and weapons, broke my bones, and left me for dead in the dungeon." The judge studied his face, nodding after a moment.
"I see no lies in your aura, and yet here you stand, seemingly unharmed. Explain,"
he politely demanded. "I made my way out of the dungeon without dying after the ordeal," Dale hedged, refusing to say more. Cole stared at him and nodded slowly.
"Fair enough, though we will talk more on this later. Wake them up. I will question them and give my sentence."
Soon there was a groaning, pleading, or self-righteous mass of people on their knees. One by one, Cole asked them questions and seemed unsatisfied with their answers. Grimly, he walked back to Dale.
"Well, before I make an unalterable decision, what was the total worth of your armor and weapons?" Cole quizzed Dale.
"I purchased the armor for several hundred gold at a guild discount, but never had the weapon appraised. I would place its worth around 3,000 gold, as it had 2 powerful inscriptions on it," Dale morosely informed him, trying to be professional. Cole winced and patted him on the back.
"Ouch. Well, that certainly decides it. They do not have enough money combined to repay that amount, but everything in their guild account is yours, as well as all personal items which will be sold off. The attempted murder and placing of bounties against a noble is enough for them to be skinned, salted, drawn, and quartered, then burned." The group started wailing, all but the woman.
Cole looked at her and shuddered.
"There was more wrong in her than just this would account for. I think being caught has broken her mind."
She looked up and gave a twisted grin.
"Cole, Judgy, let me speak."
He stared at her and slowly nodded.
"If you have something to say, out with it."
"Well, your judginess, all I have to say is this."
She started laughing very creepily.
"If you are what you eat, I am an innocent man."
Cole froze and looked coolly at the guard behind her.
"She is not lying. Silence her. She will die first, though I'd keep my hands away from her mouth if at all possible if I were you."
The guard being spoken to jerked his hands back. Cole turned to Dale.
"Is there a specific way you want this carried out, or should we use the standard I described?"
All eyes suddenly on him. Dale looked over the group with hard eyes.
"We will give them the same chance they gave to me. Bring them to the dungeon."
11. "It is a little early for most people to be coming in here, but there is a large group approaching," I told Danny, concerned that a small army might be planning to attack me at once. Before she could respond, I noticed Dale walk inside wearing a fluffy pink robe. Danny started laughing for some reason. "Dale, I don't know what kind of fabric that is, So if you give it to me, I will give you a month to get me that bag that is bigger on the inside. Dale gave me a subtle nod and loosened the robe as more people walked in behind him. There were a few men and a woman. After a moment, I recognized them as the people that had dragged Dale in here this morning.
See, Danny? I told you he would keep his bargain.
The men and the woman were stripped of all gear and pushed into the mouth of the tunnel. They started pleading, and a few tried to run, but sharp swords blocked their paths. The leader of the men went red in the face and charged at Dale, who used this excuse to toss his robe to the side and take up a fighting stance. I quickly ate the fluttering robe, of course. The man swung his beefy arms in an attempt to batter Dale to the floor, but gasped in surprise as Dale easily blocked his arms. Dale reached back, then swung a wild yet powerful blow into the man's chest, activating his, I'll call it a battle gauntlet, for the first time. The spikes on the knuckles penetrated the unprotected flesh, while the force enhancement helped drive them in powerfully. As soon as the spikes had broken the skin and driven in a bit, the liquid repulsion rune activated perfectly as I knew it would. The fluid in the man, water, fatty tissue, blood, was driven away from the impact site. Suddenly, there was no blood for the heart to pump, and the organ went into shock and quickly died. The pain must have been terrible. His muscles were no longer hydrated, which would have felt like a muscle cramp in every affected portion. Luckily for the man, the pain was as short-lived as he was. The dying man had broken blood vessels and arteries along his entire body as the liquid was forced back against its normal flow. He slumped in Dale's arms and fell to the floor, unmoving. A rush of essence assured me he had died. Seeing their leader mutilated so, the remaining men stopped trying to get past the ring of guards and slowly walked down the tunnel. The woman skipped. A small groan startled both Dale and I as a form stood up a few feet to the side, hidden by shadows.
Dale, is that you? You're alive? You escaped? Evan! Dale cried, grabbing the dwarf and pulling him into a hug. You survived? Obviously, the blushing armored man muttered. They sure knocked me out good, though. I am so surprised I woke up. May as well not have, though. I'm thousands of gold in debt now, and my pick is gone. Should just throw myself to the bashers.
Dale laughed and slapped him on the back, unfortunately using his right hand. The dwarf was thrown forward while releasing a startled shout. He stood up and glared, brushing off his dented armor. Stupid aura protecting his fluids.
Oops, Dale muttered, deactivating his battle gauntlet. I have your pick outside. You will be just fine, my friend. The dwarf broke into a sunny, toothy grin. Oh, yeah? Well, thank you. Friend, huh? Of course. Anyone who tries to save my life while not standing a snowflake's chance could be nothing less, Dale assured him. In that case, Evan grinned, I hear your friends eat at that fancy-schmancy restaurant out there. Got room for one more?
Any time you'd like, my treat. Forever.
Dale led them out, leaving a few guards to watch for the convicts. They needn't have worried. The unarmored group had stopped in Danny's garden, forming a few crude weapons out of some wood they tore off of small saplings.
4%, I muttered.
They continued, pulling fruit and vegetables for a light breakfast, unconcernedly swinging their sticks at the grass and herbs to get to the crop-bearing plants.
12%?
They sat in a half-ring, their backs to the wall. The woman ignored them, dancing around and gathering flowers while humming and singing nonsensically. Forgetting that they had no way to start one, they built a small fire pit and gathered plants to burn.
24%! I muttered in frustration.
A small argument broke out. Then one of the men with fire essence grimaced and released a burst of essence into the pile. Soon they were sitting around a fragrant fire, watching for bashers.
Oh, pretty.
The woman reached out and plucked a heavy rose.
25%, I thought with malicious glee.
The room went still. The bashers no longer moving in the underbrush. A lump of earth began to bulge up from the ground, dirt cascading away from it as tentacles burst from the cracked soil. The men began to notice the lack of sound and reached for their makeshift clubs and, in one case, someone brandished a burning log.
What?
What do you mean, what? Can't you sense the room? Something just changed.
La la la.
Someone shut that crazy broad up.
Ah, something got my leg.
Yep. A tentacle, good sir.
The man was yanked from his feet and dragged into the underbrush as his friends yelled and leapt to his aid. They crashed through the plants, only to stop in terror as a human-sized shroomish with waving tentacles opened a massive maw in its stalk and bit the struggling man in half. Intestines and gore splashed to the ground. The remaining tentacles were petting the shroomish like a human praising a small animal with a treat.
What in the abyss? One of the men gasped.
The tentacles suddenly stiffened, orienting themselves toward the new sound and lunging forward. One of the men was skewered by an undulating tentacle and pulled in, but the other dodged and began to run. The maw on the tentacle that had missed roared and stabbed the ground, uprooting the main body and throwing the entire plant at the fleeing man. The combined weight of the shroomish and two dead bodies crashed into the man, driving him to the floor where he died quickly from thorns and poison. The woman had ignored all of the commotion, continuing to gather flowers and singing broken melodies. A tentacle reached out and almost gently drew her toward the main body. An infernal maw crooned, and the shroomish paused in its feast and appeared to consider the woman. It shook itself suddenly, releasing a cloud of spores which settled on her before the tentacle pushed her away, deeper into the dungeon.
What in the crap just happened there?
I watched as the giant mushroom came to the end of its lifespan. I had designed it so that it would die 5 minutes after reaching full size. I didn't want swarms of mini-bosses running the place.
Obviously, it is more effective in combat than we thought it would be,
Danny murmured.
Keep an eye on the woman. See what happens.
Oh, we never named that boss. What do you want to call it? Danny looked at me like I was crazy.
Now, that is what you are thinking about?
Yes.
Fine. How about Glade?
She suggested after a moment's hesitation. Okay. Why?
Well,
she blushed a bit.
My other suggestions have been cute or pretty, but this one is more to do with its existence. A glade is an open space in a forest, and these spawn when a space is open due to chopping plants down. An open space, or glade, as it were.
I radiated approval.
Awesome! A play on words. Two things I love, words and puns. Nice work. I hereby name them Dire Shroom Glade, or Glade for short.
Now, back to business.
Danny prodded me firmly.
Yeah, I've been watching her. She's just sort of stumbling around.
Oh.
There. She fell.
She's in a tunnel, though, and not dead.
Nope.
Just lying there with mushrooms sprouting all over her body. They aren't pushing through the skin, but they are certainly mushrooms.
I noticed her starting to panic.
Danny, that is.
No, they don't have tentacles, but her aura is hiding the details enough that I can't tell what they do to humans. We are just going to have to wait and see. I don't think they are the reason she collapsed. She's just exhausted from the night, I think.
Tell me right away if she does anything. Want to take action?
I will. I promise.
Dale got to know Evan a bit better over breakfast, and they made plans to meet up again soon. Unfortunately, they didn't have too much in common. While they enjoyed their conversation and parted friends, there was no real impetus to prolong their meal. Evan had his inscribed pick back and wanted to get some sleep before re-entering the mining area of the dungeon, while Dale had several people to talk to about the events of the evening. Talking to the guild and telling the elves the full story took until lunch, when he had planned to meet his group.
Oh, look!
The Emperor deigns to speak to the little people, Hans called as Dale walked into the room. They were at the pleasure house, of course.
Oh, whine more. At least you entertain us by varying what you complain about,
Rose chastised him. Tom nodded seriously.
Verily, I have heard that the events of this early morning provide sufficient cause for Dale to receive lenient treatment from us.
You doing all right, Dale?
Adam looked at his unarmored friend. That Dale was out of his armor was strange enough, but coupled with his fiercely burning blue eyes and emaciated form, Dale looked downright frightening. Trying not to scowl, Dale sat down and angrily cut into his steak.
Yeah, this morning sucked. Let's hurry up and get to the dungeon. I feel the need to kill something.
About that. Hans had all eyes locked on him as soon as he finished these words.
Yes?
Dale drew the word out warningly. Hans raised his eyebrow at the tone.
We can go in and fight, but I think that the third floor is going to have to wait a good long time. The team that we rescued had all D-ranked members, and three were killed while one was severely injured.
How is he, by the way?
Adam interjected. Once a patient, always a patient. Hans tossed his hands in the air and made a non-committal gesture.
He is stable, but they took too long to figure out how to fix the damage. I don't think he will ever get full use of that arm back.
I thought they were just unprepared,
Rose contritely confessed.
Just let me finish,
Hans ordered.
The spotter report on the new mobs was released this morning, and they were found to be D-rank 2. They also obviously have some nasty abilities, and they have beast cores.
The final comment made everyone wince.
What? So what?
Dale looked at the faces around him. Rose took pity on him.
It means that they are intelligent. We are talking at least near human levels of intelligence. They've accumulated enough essence that it began to crystallize and formed a central area for their essence to accumulate. They are now magical beasts, and far more dangerous than simple animals.
There is that much of a difference?
Dale was unconvinced. Hans took over the conversation.
Let me offer an example. You got ambushed this morning, yes?
I read the report.
When they were caught and sentenced, one of the men attacked you, and you easily stopped him, although he was much larger than you. Correct?
Dale nodded, unsure of where this was going.
Well, that man was in the upper F ranks and had only one of his meridians open. The boss on the second floor, Rail. That big bunny is F rank 9 and is already hard for us to beat unless I were to take it out and didn't bother to let you fight at all.
Those men are weaker than Rail and were still able to beat you.
Yes, it was because they snuck up on you, but, well, they did.
Not a criticism, but you really need to learn to control your essence so you can better protect yourself. As it stands, I, just me, could go to the third floor and likely be okay, but you would all probably die if you tried it.
Hans finished his ominous speech by eating a scoop of iced cream.
Dale considered his options, but finally agreed that Hans was correct.
Fine. What do we need to do?
There are several things to do, thanks for asking,
Hans exclaimed joyously, obviously uncaring of the somber mood.
Firstly, we need to get Tom into the D ranks. Second, you should go control the essence techniques you were promised by the elves. Third, you all need to learn to control your essence. Finally, we need to get into the dungeon and cultivate until we go mad with boredom.
Dale's eyes bulged a bit as he remembered the memory stones the dark elves had promised him.
Dang it! Right, I'll go get them. How do we learn to use our essence better?
You have a tutor, show you. You have Craig. Adam has Father Richard.
Adam shuddered at those words.
Rose has Chandra, and Tom... I'll teach Tom.
Hans sighed at the thought of long hours with the overly formal young barbarian.
Huzzah! I had hoped that you would take me under thine tutelage, but had thought the dream was only that. I am ready to begin my training forthwith, master.
Tom stood from his seat and bowed at Hans.
No, sit,
Hans barked at the man towering above him. Tom complied, making Hans laugh.
See?
He takes well to training. This prompted a round of chuckles from the group and a blush from Tom. The meal ended, and Dale made his way to the Elven Embassy. He arrived in front of the highly ruined building and asked to see Princess Brianna. After a short wait, he was ushered inside to find her lounging at her desk with a box in front of her.
"Finally remembered these, I assume," Brianna laughed at Dale's reddening face. "We had a bet going to see when you would. I had said tomorrow, dang it. I'm down 10 silver. All is well, though. Ready to learn some of the most highly kept secrets of earthen essence?"
Dale nodded again, not trusting himself to speak without his excitement breaking his voice. Brianna pointed out the stone that contained the royal cultivation technique, and he reached for that first. A better technique would allow him to gain ranks much faster. He touched the stone, and the cloth wrapping on his hand suddenly parted, grabbing the stone and binding it tight.
"Hey!" Dale yelled at the offending armor. "Give me that!"
Obviously, the gauntlet didn't respond. The cloth-wrapped bulge remained perfectly still. Brianna looked at his gauntlet seriously for the first time.
"What in the world? Dale, can I see that gauntlet?"
"Sure." He held up his hand for her to look at his new weapon? Armor? He realized he didn't really know what to call it. She arched her brow at him and asked him to take it off and hand it to her. He tried to do so, but as soon as he started unwrapping the layers, they tightened enough to stop the flow of blood in his arm.
"Ow!"
He retracted his hand, and the wraps loosened to their normal tightness.
"That hasn't happened before," he muttered worriedly.
"You were able to take it off before?"
"Yes. I tried it on my left hand, but it didn't fit. Then I took it off when I was wearing the robe."
"When did you activate it? Before or after you took it off?"
With dawning horror, Dale realized what she meant.
"I took it off before I activated it."
Brianna nodded slowly, face far more pale than usual.
"Dale, you are wearing a piece of cursed armor. I'll send a report to the spotters, but you should be careful with that. While very powerful, they tend to damage the person using them."
"Of course they do," Dale sighed, waving away her concerns. "So, I am down 1 stone already. Any way to take this off?" Brianna reluctantly nodded.
"A strong enough flesh mage could remove it by, well, they basically need to skin your arm. They take the top layer of skin and draw the whole construction off you. Very painful, and very expensive. Also, with those wraps, I'm uncertain that would work. They may just wrap themselves higher up your arm."
"Destroying it, maybe?"
Dale tried to sound hopeful, yet was very unconvincing.
"That carries a high risk of taking the arm, but is possible. You could also cut it off,"
Brianna reassured him.
"Yay. Let's just do the other stones."
Dale reached for a memory stone, very intentionally using his left hand, and pulled out one that had an earthy look to it. He placed the stone against his head and was mesmerized as the memories of a powerful earth essence user flowed into his mind. He watched as the elf discovered how to use his own essence and how he pushed it out and looped it, forming the needed pattern in the earth and reabsorbing the essence used, forming a continuous loop until the process was finished. Dale knew with certainty that if he forgot to loop the essence back to himself, it would be gone forever and he would need to recultivate it. This particular memory was only meant to teach him how to use a movement technique, but it did so much more since Dale had never used his earth essence for anything but activating a weapon before. The memory taught him about affinity channels, the pathways that were open to allow a specific type of essence to move along them. The elf had the earthen affinity channel open fully, and fire open only part way. Dale came out of the momentary trance he had fallen into and did what anyone else would have. He tried to use the technique, looping out his essence and allowing the earth itself to propel him along. Instead, his essence rebounded against his aura, lashing back into his body and making his muscles spasm before, vindictively, pushing the muscle aside and flowing into his meridians. Dale fell flat on his face while emitting a rather rude stream of expletives.
"Dale,"
Brianna tried to admonish him while also trying very hard not to laugh.
"Just because you know how to do it doesn't mean you can. You need to practice that slowly. The elf this came from was a master of earthen essence and had mastered this technique over years of experience."
Dale groaned miserably.
"I thought the whole point of memory stones was to be able to bypass that whole process."
"No. They allow you to bypass the years of trial and error that go into creating the technique. You still need to practice it. There will be many failed attempts before you are able to use it at even a fraction of its strength."
Brianna looked at Dale's nonplussed face.
"Look, if you picked up a sword, it would take years to create the sword form, build muscle to wield it, and practice enough to use it casually. Not to mention using it in combat. If you got a sword art memory stone, you could bypass learning the forms and stances, but you would still need to build your own way of using it, muscle and muscle memory. Get it?"
"I do. You are saying that this was not a pointless deal, and I should be grateful that I don't need to spend years twisting my essence in the dirt to see if something happens."
Dale chuckled.
"Fair enough. But, dang, I really wanted to try moving that fast."
Brianna raised her eyebrow with a grin.
"You know, if you had actually succeeded in using that technique, it likely would have broken the bones of whatever limb you had touching the ground. You weren't properly braced, and your legs would have flown forward while the rest of you stayed still for a moment. If you think about it, you got off rather lucky."
"I see," Dale stammered as he tried to think of something intelligent to say. "How about I just use the next one? I think we are planning on going into the dungeon soon."
He reached for the third stone and placed it carefully against his forehead. Memories of decade-long research flashed by. Dale saw, was, the elf who created the stone. He remembered practically by moving stones one at a time, moving on to make earth crumble at a touch, till finally learning and using the technique mastered in his old age, as he smashed dwarven defenses from a distance, collapsing a mountain during a war. Dale looked up finally, tears shining in his eyes.
"Brianna," he gasped. "There has never been emotion in a memory stone before this. Why?" The elf felt nothing but horror for the technique he had made. "Why would you give me this without warning? Why would you ever use this technique again?"
Brianna patted him on the arm.
"Most people that make memory stones work hard to send along only the dry information. The elf who mastered this technique was one of the greatest stone mages in our history, and he taught that there should never be knowledge of how to destroy. At least, not without a deep insight into the horror that came with it."
"Is there a reason I was given this stone?" Dale demanded, trying to shake off the feeling of killing a city. Not an easy feat. They were now his memories. He may as well have actually been there doing the deed himself.
Brianna gave a weak grin.
"Well, it is well known that this elf makes stones that pass along his emotional state, so..."
"No one else wanted it, did they?" Dale cut her off.
"Pretty much. It is very powerful, though, and should have given you techniques to use to build up strength until you can use the mastered version,"
Brianna informed him.
"It did, but I can see why no one wanted to use it."
"Very sneaky of you.
Look, I need to get going, but we will talk later."
Dale started marching out of the room.
"Hold a moment. You have no armor, and a new weapon that you have not trained with. Are you sure jumping into the dungeon is a great idea?"
Brianna questioned him.
"Nah, it is a terrible idea. I'm doing it anyway. I'll see you later."
12. Danny groaned as the madwoman covered in mushrooms threw herself at yet another basher. It seemed that the lady was filled with an unhealthy rage. Anytime she saw movement, she ran at it screaming, attacking with her bare hands or anything else that she could find. After she killed whatever she attacked, she seemed to get her mind back, at least partly. She would alternate weeping and searching through small treasure chests. Already she had found a sharp dagger and armor for her legs, which is all she needed to fight successfully against the waves of bashers.
It just doesn't make sense. She's what? F-rank 5? There is no way she should be fighting all of those herself and surviving.
Danny despairingly groaned again. Danny, that is the 5th time you said that. I get it. I really do. I think that those mushrooms on her are driving her to attack. Look, she has serious wounds, but is ignoring them. Anytime she sees something, she just has to kill it. Remind you of anything? I queried her, trying to lead her to my own conclusion.
The distortion cat?
She spoke after a few moments.
You think those are parasites like the tentacles were?
I do. And sooner or later, she will get killed, and I will know for certain. No worries, I assured her. Danny tried to focus on other things, but I could hear her muttering every few minutes. Finally, something changed.
Look! A group is coming closer to her. Okay, they see her. She's just crying right now. They look concerned. Oh, dear.
They had gotten close to the near-nude woman and touched her bare shoulder. The woman gave a bestial snarl, turning and plunging her dagger into the neck of the man beside her. Howling, she ran at the other shocked members and was able to stab one to death before the others stopped seeing her as a human and began to see her as a monster. She was cut down in moments, and I waited to examine her pattern.
Huh. Nothing, I muttered.
What do you mean, nothing? Obviously something happened there,
Danny responded angrily.
I was very confused. It must be an effect of the mushrooms. If they had left her body, I would be able to break it down and see the physical component of things. As it is, all I can see is a way to recreate her original body, and they just put her current body into one of those bigger on the inside bags. I can't examine the changes if they aren't here, and it looks like that group is turning around and leaving.
I'm not getting a chance here, Danny. Right. First thing to do is alter the pattern of the mini-bosses so they don't have spores anymore. I don't want an unknown factor in here.
Smart. How about...
Then later we will get some bashers infected with the spores to see what happens, I stated gleefully.
Oh, of course we will, Danny muttered. I rescind my smart comment.
What? Why? Danny gave a short haw of laughter, but I cut her off before she could respond. Hey, Dale is here! No armor today! He seems a bit piqued. Feeling all right there, Dale?
You gave me a cursed weapon! No, I am not doing all right! Dale thought at me furiously.
What's your point? I watched as he ran forward and punched a basher, the force of the blow coupled with the gauntlet's runes blasting most of the poor animal's blood out of its body. The small corpse looked very different, emptied of fluids.
My point is that it is apparently killing me slowly and stealing my stuff.
He definitely seemed a bit out of sorts.
What?
Nah, there is no point for me to give you something that kills you outside of here. That battle gauntlet is tethered to the corruption in your core. It will help purify the essence in your core as well. I'm not sure why you were upset, really. You're acting like a spoiled child.
Dale paused in his rampage, the massacre of small furry animals slowing for a moment.
Wait, you actually gave me something helpful? Did you intend for it to steal from me?
I had no idea what he was talking about, so I looked closer at his arm. There was indeed a bulge in the armor that hadn't been there before.
Well, to be fair, while it may be helpful for you, it helps me out to not have to refine all the essence you are going to give me when you die in here. Less corruption is good for me as well.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Dale thought at me wryly, but now his face wasn't a mask of fury. Instead, he seemed contemplative. I wanted to know what his armor had hidden, so when he gave a particularly wild swing, I gave a mental command to the wrap to release. To my surprise, it did. A shining core flew across the room, shattering against a stony crenellation. I felt as a small burst of essence was released, though it felt different. It reached me, and my mind expanded. I watched in silent awe, through eyes that were not my own, as hundreds of elves sat in an ancient dungeon, meditating. I saw them all change the way they drew in essence. Hundreds of patterns of fractals changed from one moment to the next as every feasible possibility was attempted. The memory sped up, and a time period of decades passed in mere moments. I felt the frustration of the stone's creator as he worked day after day with no noticeable improvement in cultivation technique. In disgust, the elf pushed away his fractal, and to his amazement, essence suddenly flooded him. Another decade passed as he toyed with this new concept, altering the flow one tiny bit at a time. The final pattern, the fractal he found to be the very best, stayed in his mind as he ran off to explain his new cultivation technique. Slowly, the memory faded away. That's it? That is the secret? The product of almost 100 years? I laughed aloud, startling Danny and freaking out Dale. He looked around in terror for a moment.
What is it, Cal?
Danny tore her thoughts away from another group gathering herbs in the garden room.
It seems I have a new cultivation technique. I'm going to try it out.
You have what? You thieving bast-
Sorry, Dale, I'm rather busy right now. I have a thing to do.
I turned to Danny. It looks like I'll need to focus on this for a bit, kind of like when I first made my fractal. Keep an eye out for me. I didn't wait for her to reply, although I am sure she understood. I focused inward, taking the fractal within my core and slowing it. As the flow of essence lessened, I pushed with my willpower.
The fractal rolled and split into damaged key threads.
I grasped each of the threads and pushed, over and over. Soon, instead of a flat fractal that spanned my core, I had an intricate sphere of fractals. The detail of it was mind-boggling. The quantity of fractals as numerous as the grains of sand in my walls. When I was certain that I could hold the pattern without too much effort, it was night time, and most of the population had retired for sleep or other assorted activities. The third floor was absolutely stuffed full of loose essence. I had not used any nor cultivated for nearly half a day.
Danny? I mentally prodded her. Dale is gone, right?
Yeah, welcome back. Everything working out for you?
Danny sleepily murmured at me.
Yes, I'm going to try to cultivate right now. Watch and see if you can tell a difference.
When she acquiesced, I opened myself up to the essence of the heavens and the earth. Like lightning had struck, the air in the room shifted and vibrated violently. I screamed as essence was ripped out of the air and forced into me. Only the billions of pathways that the essence needed to traverse kept me from exploding from the massive overdose. I stopped pulling, rather cheerful with the test run, and feeling a bit full for the first time in days.
What the abyss?
Danny gasped.
If I notice a difference? What the heck was that? It sounded like the mountain was collapsing.
I think it is called a master-level cultivation technique. It looks like it took about a century to create and a decade or so to refine into its current form, I told her cheerfully.
You set it up in only a few hours? How?
Danny demanded in excitement.
Here's the cool part, Danny. I've made this pattern before now. All I had to do was apply the fractal of essence to myself with slight alterations.
I was keeping the key bit of information from her, and she started grumbling hard enough that I finally relented with a laugh.
Danny, look at the pattern! Recognize it at all?
She stared for nearly 10 minutes, almost giving up, when she had a breakthrough.
Cal, is that the same? That is the same pattern as a wisp?
She gasped in fear and amazement.
"All but the parts that make it living and thinking," I crowed. "If I had feet, I would be dancing right now."
"Do you know what this means? I knew wisps were pure essence, but now it makes sense how you can survive without a body. Wisps are incredibly essence efficient. All you need is a little bit, and it keeps you going. You are a thought form surrounded by a cultivation technique, like how I am a thought form surrounded by crystal."
Danny seemed dazed, the information a huge shock. The history of wisps and how they came to be was one of their race's greatest sought-after secrets. This information was a huge leap forward to her knowledge, and she felt like she could be the first of her kind to learn why they existed and how they came to be.
"Cal, this is huge. You have no idea."
"Right? I've been sitting on the edge of D-Rank 5. Is this the kind of knowledge I needed to reach D-6?
I plagued her with questions, not catching her mood.
Well, I suppose. Usually moving into D-6 requires you to learn how to store your essence in your aura, further strengthening your body and such. But this will work just as well. You will certainly need to know by the time you break into the C-rankings, but I think that you can probably break through your barriers to advancement right now. Cultivate away."
"Will do."
The air tremored again as I drew hard on the dense essence in the air, while Danny stared contemplatively into the distance. Dale awoke to the sound of rolling thunder and stepped out of his tent expecting to be soaked in rain within a few moments. He looked up to check the cloud cover, but was instead able to see a clear, beautiful morning. He frowned. Normally a clear day helped to cheer him up, but now he was only suspicious. By the time he had eaten and gotten ready for the day, the intermittent sounds had faded to nothing.
"Anyone know what's going on?" Dale asked his friends quizzically.
Adam looked up from a dauntingly huge plate of eggs.
"Hmm? Well, I hear that a group of nobles is going to be showing up today. I don't really have the details on that."
"Not what I meant, but that is certainly good to know. I was thinking more about that thunder."
Dale gave a half-smile at his friend.
"Most likely no reason to worry." Hans popped a basher sausage into his mouth.
Rose snorted.
"Everything worries our fearless leader."
The dichotomy of the statement got a chuckle from the group. A knock at the door cut their merriment short. Brianna opened the door and stepped inside.
"Dale, have you heard that thunder? We were worried that..."
Her mouth fell open as she saw Rose at the table.
"Rosie? Little sapling Rose?"
Rose flushed and muttered,
"Hello, Aunt Ironbark. Good to see you again." "Rose!"
Brianna rushed to hug the uncomfortable young woman.
"Why didn't you tell me that you were here? You look so well. Of course you would be here. You can cultivate here." "You are babbling again."
Brianna snorted.
"I tend to do that when surprised. To my point, why didn't you come see me?"
Rose blushed and looked down, mumbling.
"They did what?"
Brianna roared. Everyone jumped, and Hans looked around in confusion.
"You could hear that. I couldn't hear that. You?"
Adam shook his head, eyes wide.
"She said that she tried to come see me, and the guard told her in no uncertain terms that the half-breed was unwelcome anywhere near me."
Essence was flashing in her eyes, and a buildup of unreleased mana was tearing a hole in the visual world around her, distorting her visage. She growled.
"Who were they? Heads will roll!"
Chandra bustled in at a sprint.
"You! Stop that at once! Losing control of yourself like this! Oh, hello, my niece. Calm yourself."
Pfft! Brianna seemed to drain of anger.
"Just because your daughter married my brother does not make me your niece."
A pounding on the stairs announced a new presence.
"Hey! Whoever is throwing around highly concentrated mana like that had better stop! You made my portal flicker. If someone had been in there at that time, they would have been sliced clean in half."
High Magus Amber burst into the room and glared at the occupants.
"Who did this? Who woke me up at this ungodly hour?"
"Heh," Hans whispered to Dale.
"Look at that. We have Amber, Brianna, Chandra, and Dakota all in the same room.
Go talk with them. It'll be a conversation between A, B, C, and D.
Who is Dakota? Dale whispered back.
What?
You said, and Dakota. Dale narrowed his eyes. You just got my name wrong.
Hans!
You must have misheard. Hans brushed him away. You better go. It looks like we are about to have some bloodshed otherwise.
Dale glowered at his friend still, but stood and addressed the deadly women glaring at each other.
The situation is over and done with. Please act like the adults, business leaders, or heads of state that you are. Thanks.
Hans gaped at Dale as he sat back down and started eating.
Very political. Smooth, even.
Dale shrugged.
They aren't fighting each other anymore, right? Acting professional again?
Dale was facing away from them as they stalked closer, ready to start yelling again.
After all, I would hate to order them to leave. We can't have people that could single-handedly destroy a city acting like spoiled brats. People would get nervous.
The ladies paused, passed a considering look around, and straightened themselves. Dale turned around to see them starting to make polite conversation.
By the way, High Mages, I hear we are going to have some noble visitors arriving soon. Do you have any information about that?
She looked for a moment like she was not going to say anything.
Ah, well, they will be here soon and everyone will know anyway. Yes, there is a full entourage of nobles arriving. There will be a prince and princess, but mostly there will be, how to say, non-main branch family members.
Ah, I see. Dale paused. Non-main because they were born into those families, or because they failed to achieve greatness in a fast enough time?
Amber looked surprised while Brianna smirked. Amber responded slowly.
I would say born into the family. I would also remind you not to ask them that question if you meet them. Most are in their mid-twenties and therefore not at the end of their trials as it is, and it would be considered the height of rudeness. Actually, since you are here, I was hoping to go over some land issues and building areas for the nobles' contingent. Obviously, they won't want to stay in tents, but...
Dale waved her down as his team gave low groans.
No, sorry. No city business right now. Get it approved by the council, then the city planner, and then me. We talked about this. We are just about to head into the dungeon. The team is getting a bit anxious to go.
His group looked very relieved upon hearing this.
Brianna piped up. Still no other armor, Dale.
It is rather expensive to... Dale began when Tom cut him off.
Ah! As if he needs armor. Not a full day previous, he stood amidst the foes in the dungeon and battered them down with his bare hands. The carnage he blissfully brought down upon his foes was glorious to behold, and he stood like a true warrior. Barely armored, he weathered the storm. In my culture, he is at last considered a man.
Tom boasted on behalf of his leader. A shocked silence followed his words. Brianna recovered fast.
Well, I am sure he appreciates that. Moving on, quickly, does this mean you are planning on changing your entire fighting style?
Dale nodded.
All of that armor weighed me down, and I still needed to dodge almost everything, or I got seriously hurt. Don't get me wrong. I am glad I wore it in the past. I have muscles I never expected, but without it, I can slip past most of the attacks that come my way and counter them much easier.
Well, talk to Craig, your mentor.
Chandrak joined the conversation out of the blue.
He is a master of hand-to-hand fighting techniques, and I'm sure he would be able to teach you.
I plan on it. We have a training session after lunch, and...
Brianna broke in.
He is a master of human hand-to-hand fighting, but if you want a true martial art, I know a guy. You could be the first ever human to learn the Moon Elf style. You are entitled to it as an elven noble, after all.
She ended tantalizingly. Stunned silence met her words. Hans broke it with a drawl.
Yeah, I would go with that one. The Moon Elves are considered the deadliest fighters without weapons in the world. More deadly with weapons, of course, but you know.
What is the catch, Aunt Ironbark?
Rose rejoined the conversation with evident suspicion.
Not so much a catch as a commitment. Once you start training, you cannot stop for 5 years, and you will not master it for at least a decade. You must promise not to teach another the style unless given permission.
Brianna spoke seriously.